I'm glad to hear members that are time conscious, as I've been emphasizing since the honorable. So at least now all of us agree on the time issue. I hope everybody has got their score sheets, their files, so that we are able to start. The next candidate is Mwaku Rangata, as candidate 23 on our file. We are going to ask Mr. Rangata to come through so that we are able to shoot straight to the interview for honorable members. Welcome, Dr. Rangata. Rangata, ne? Translation, I'm just reaching honorable members, Mr. Rangata, and hoping that he enjoyed Cape Town and that we apologize because we kept him the whole day. That's what the kind of thing. And I think here with me is Honorable Maine, my co-chairperson, and in front of you is honorable members of the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces, members of Parliament. I'm going to give them each an opportunity to ask a question, and then you will respond. You don't have to wait for me to come in and say respond. You can respond directly. Feel free, relax. If you are not sure about something, just reflect on it and say your views. About it, members, I hope you are getting settled, Honorable Nyambi, as you are going to start this round for us. I see you have put the mic under the hand so that you are audible when you respond.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask, when you are not speaking, to switch it off so that it does not create the echoes.
Okay.
Are you able to? Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, you switch it off and then somebody is able to ask and then you can switch it on. Honorable Nyambi, over to you.
Evening, Mr. Rangata. Relax. You can even take a sip so that you can be very comfortable. I can see the board move forward in front of you. My first question is in relation to the formulation of legislation in our beloved country, South Africa. But I'll be very generous, as I've done to all the other candidates. It's up to you to relate your understanding of how legislation is being done in our country. You can use a province as a point of reference or the national one. But the ball is in your court. Take us through the entire process of legislation in our country.
Thanks very much. The process that unfolds when the legislation is formed in our country. Here at national level, it starts with a green paper whereby it's taken out to the communities for public hearings, debates as far as our constitution affords our people to determine their own destiny. And after all this process, it comes back to the national parliament, and it's also taken again to the NSOP, and after that it is presented to the president to sign that particular white paper into an act.
We are quite aware that the youth constitute the majority in our country. And in terms of this advent, a number of youth structures responded and some decided to avail themselves. Because we know the number of charities facing our country, and I think we are quite aware of those challenges facing our youth in our country, try to convince this panel, why do you think you are one of the most appropriate to be afforded the opportunity to be the board member of the NYDA?
I would take into consideration that the legacy of apartheid regime has actually left serious challenges in our country, and it has produced a dichotomous challenge in this country, whereby you have the nation divided into the north and the east. And a majority of our young people are still on the periphery of economic mainstream. My vision would be concentrating around the issue of skill development, opportunities of employment for these young people, and practical opportunities of youth development, which is holistic. The board should be able to integrate different youth from different backgrounds, and taking into consideration the talent gap that is existing between young people who are privileged and who are disadvantaged, to bring them to an equal stage, would actually have the issue of industrialization, whereby one who is skilled as young people, they are able to have an environment where they are going to practice or exercise the skills that they would acquire through the interventions of the board. Because if ever you can look, more especially in rural areas, the economic life of our rural villages.
Sorry, sir. Let me assist Mr. Rangat. I'm asking you to market yourself. I'm not talking about the board sector, but I'm asking you as a person to market yourself. I'm asking you, market yourself, why you think you are one of those that are appropriate to be selected by us to be considered to be a board member. So in short, market yourself. What is it that you possess that will make you to be one of the D that can be considered for such a serious position in our country?
Okay. I'm an industrious young person. Creative, innovative, forward-looking, and interested in coming with the innovative ways in terms of our in terms of the actual life and transformation in young people. Ensuring that the services that the young people have been yearning for, they are actually taken to their location. Because if ever you can look at the environment where we are, young people in rural areas don't think that they are on equal footing with young people in urban areas. I'll be able to close that particular chasm gap so that the opportunities that a young person in urban area gets, the rural young person get those opportunities as well. Ensure that these services, they are localized. And they would actually depend from one area to the other in terms of the challenges faced or confronted by young people. The strategy to develop young people in urban areas and rural areas, obviously it will differ. But in rural areas, we'll be able to ensure that those natural resources that are lying vastly and idle, They actually contribute to the socio-economic conditions of young people. The issue of land. How do we actually tap into those opportunities for young people to access them? There are so many farmers that they are farming different crops in our areas. But there is a need. And for these young people to be trained, to be given exposure. A young person coming from a poor household, his father and his mother have been working in that particular farm. Because of impoverished conditions, he doesn't even have money to access an institutional violin. If ever we are not able to come with innovative ways, this person would ultimately be the worker of that particular farmer again, and you have got a vicious cycle of poverty in that particular area. While saying these young people, we must utilize this particular farmer. We must have social responsibility in terms of killing our own people. Not the issue of tax relief or social responsibilities in terms of building, tar roads and so on and so on. And the other thing is that the president in his national address, he pointed out on a massive infrastructural project. How to ensure that the young people get benefits in those projects? They are going to be beneficiaries in such a massive project. We must actually get investment. We must have many young people being trained, and they must be doing different work in those projects. And the investment that they would have assured through collaborating with the private companies that would be rendering service to government would actually be very beneficial to young people. We have got different natural resources in our areas. I'll give an example of the Kruger National Park and the Gama Nature Reserve. How do we ensure that the young people benefit? They are residing in those villages next to these resources, but they are actually watching people getting the wealth from their own resources without innovative intervention. We're saying such resources should actually be directed to our young people through training. They must get skills so that they can be able to own the resources that are within their reach in their home environment. And the issue of skill again, it comes back to say, how do we ensure that the young people are skilled and the skills that they acquire from different institutions become relevant to our own society? You find a person he has done agriculture, but this person is unable to even start farming. He is taking CVs to different institutions seeking for a job. Must be able to deal with that particular stereotype of thinking. When a person has acquired skills, must be able to transfer back or cultivate the skill that he acquired from the institution of learning into his own society. And that skill must benefit his own society. The other thing is to look at the The other thing is to look at how do we integrate the youth that is out of school, the youth that is hopeless. Come with measures to integrate them back into the broader society and ensure that they play a meaningful role in terms of development of their own society, because when they are outside, they become the challenges of the government. At the end of the day, you'll find that these people, they are going to queue for your grant. If ever we don't come with the intervention, they'll look for you know, this dependence on those of saying what government would actually offer for us, and become hindrances in terms of development of our community. So they must be integrated back into a normal economic life, into our society, and be an asset to our nation. Thanks.
Okay. Do you have a follow-up on that? We have an hour with you. I'm going to ask you not too long in one question. All the rest are still going to ask. Another second.
Thank you very much. You want to talk to my first question is, serving on the board requires a significant time or amount of time for meetings. I think you will have your board meetings, presenting your quarterly reports in parliament, lobbying other stakeholders, and so forth. How much time do you anticipate you'll have to devote to the board? And also given the fact that you according to your CV, you are a senior administrator in the Limpopo Department of Public Works. Secondly, okay, there is a public outcry that our rural youth are not accessing the services of the NYDA. How would you ensure the accessibility of the NYDA to the constituency that you are serving, that is the youth out there? Thank you very much.
And I've been serving as an activist for the society. I have an ample time. In my life, everything that I do is in the interest of development of the broader community. I've got an ample time which actually I would allocate to perform the duties of the board. Doesn't mean that when I'm fully employed in public work, I would not be able to service our youth. Because every day, every time, I don't have a weekend for my social interest. I've got the weekend for the interest of young people, given the situation in which our young people find themselves in, the rotating percentage of unemployment. With regard to the question that how can I ensure that the youth access the services of NYD, previously I stated that we need to localize the NYD, make sure that they are centered in our own municipalities, because we cannot afford a situation whereby young unemployed people travel long distances. When they get to provincial offices, they don't get anyone, they go back barehanded. One, the situation whereby they can be able to access services within their reach and be able to utilize them. And the other thing is that the products and services of NYDA should actually even be entrenched in different institutions of government in our area. It should not be limited to the offices of NYDA. Wherever where you get government institutions, must ensure that there are pamphlets speaking about the products of these young people, so that young people can, and even though you can't have a physical office in a particular area, but a young person could be able to know what kind of products and services are offered by the NYDA.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good evening, Mr. Rangkata.
Good evening.
My question goes around good governance. Now, in connection and also the tools of strength which we have to deal with when you are a member of the NYDA, what will you do if you are going to be elected as a member of this board to ensure that there is good governance in this entity, to make use of what is in your hands, and also to speak with your other members to ensure this position in the NYDA? Thank you.
I think that in the past 3 years, the NYDA has been able to lay a footprint. And the challenge is that how do we move forward from where we are now in providing services that are in consonance with aspiration and interest of young people. The challenge is that for you to have a good governance, you must be able to have adequate
finally, so that you can be able to implement effectively and efficiently the broader youth development strategy and plan. Because the challenge now is the issue of funding. And you will take into consideration that you have the NYDA that is actually comprised of previous institutions like Yomzombo and the Youth Commission, which had staff. And you had the NYDA that had to employ other people. And ultimately, the broader budget is being saved for wage salaries. Because for us to ensure that young people get the services in accordance with the Act that dictates how should the NYDA operate, you need an adequate funding. And the other thing is that there should be reports that must be presented. And this report must be able to speak to the economic life of the constituencies of NYDA and its stakeholders. To say, is the NYDA going forward or backward? Is it spending the tax money fruitfully or what? You would need to have risk strategy in terms of that. And again, accountability, transparency, efficiency, fairness in terms of your account to the nation through the president, right? Report to the president. Your transparency, how transparent the institution is. And you must be able to develop the guidelines and some policies with respect to the elements of ensuring that there are no corrupt elements. Like the whistleblowing policies, so that people can friendly approach you if ever someone within your own community is infringing the laws that generally govern the NYDA. In such manner, you'll be able to provide good governance. And the other thing is to take into consideration the ethical values that the NYDA must be the embodiment of such ethical values. It will even go to extend whereby some members who are having interest should not actually appropriate their own interest in the board. The priority must be given to the young people in terms of their holistic development in our country. Thanks.
Can you follow up, Honorable?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Although that
I had the
I was going to ask you a question regarding chapter 10 of the Constitution, but the last part of your response partly covered that And I'm somehow convinced that you are vested with the basic values and the principles governing public administration. Maybe if you can then tell us about issues of intergovernmental relations. How do you see NYGA influencing the agenda of local government?
Very important question. The NYGA is not just an organization operating in the silos. You take into consideration that it is also the mandate of different departments to integrate the strategy of youth development. And if ever we can have a situation whereby it's the responsibility of every department to ensure that they employ young people, the skyrocketing rate of unemployment won't be diminished any soon. Would lobby go to the department, different departments, make sure that we set targets, and whenever they are come, they must be able to tell the nation how many young people have they been able to employ? How many young people have they been able to train through the internship, through apprenticeship, and even in local municipalities, is their responsibility to ensure that young people are trained and ultimately absorbed, provided they provide required skills and competencies and attributes that the municipality would be looking for. And the municipality must be able to come with the economic development strategy in their own locality. How do we tap into the into the ability, these abilities of young people? How can municipalities transform them so that they can contribute meaningfully to the life of the municipality, to make sure that the economic development, local economic development that municipality speaks about, is real, even young people partake actively in that, and they will be able to address so many social issues. The substance of abuse, crime, you know, all these things related to social issues. I think that that would be the answer to all the questions.
Thank you. Can you just explain to us what is your understanding of if you are a national youth commissioner, what does that mean?
National youth commissioner. My understanding is that you must be able to relate situations of different young people, come with different strategies and interventions to address the challenges of young people, including unemployment. Must be able to come with strategies for young person living in Zingi-Zingi, where people are still sharing water there with animals.
and also relate to the challenges of youngsters in Nanda, and be able to come with an adequate or sufficient strategy that will uplift that person's socio-economic conditions. And also must be able to create an environment where young people see each other as young South African people, irrespective of where they reside. Rural people must stay in rural areas, there's inferior complex, because they are staying in disadvantaged conditions. How do you close the gap so that these people can go to refreshing places together without looking down to each other that you are from Inanda, I am from Sante? You must be able to ensure that these people, they have an equal footage. In terms of skills, development, and employment. And the other thing is to instill patriotism in young people. Activism. A young person, wherever he is, should know that the future of this country lies on his shoulder or on her shoulder. What kind of role can that person play that would contribute to her or his development and the development of product of the art in general? So that you ensure that there is a smooth transition from youth to adulthood. These people, when they are grown up, you will not have these ugly faces that are still rearing themselves within the boundaries of our country to say you are white, you are black, you are blue, you are pale. You would have instilled that particular culture within themselves. And this country in the future would be really in safe hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me, Chairperson, that I was in Kirkwood with Mr. Ramaka. When I'm satisfied with this question, I would indicate. I want to appeal that he would take me to the room.
I don't think that's your teacher I'm chairing.
Okay.
So once you have asked your question, I'll be the one who will be able to stop the candidate.
Sure.
We are proceeding in the manner of fairness.
Sure.
Teach it to the candidate that we have an hour with him.
Okay.
So I don't think you can stop the candidate while on the
podcast. Thanks, Jefferson, for that liberty.
Mr. Ranat, I'm one person who usually do not prepare questions for the candidate. I listen as you respond to other questions, and I would be prompted to ask my own. I'm learning from your responses that you have an understanding of the demographics of South African youth. You know where the South African youth is located. Now, if I can introduce, though I don't like much this phrase, economic freedom, can you tell us how would you see economic development of young people of South Africa
integrated rural development such that all young South Africans, as you have actually indicated, have a taste of economic freedom. Thank you.
The point of departure is to understand the livelihoods of young people in the rural area. Their challenges on day-to-day basis. And then, how do you resolve that? I think that the rural development speaks to the natural resources that our people are having at home. And I'll give an example of our perennial stream or rivers. There is a high shortage of water now in our country. But how do you turn that particular resource to be advantageous for our people? It's a perennial river. Why don't we turn it into a dam? We'll, for sure we'll have water whenever rainfall. And if ever the young people, they are in their plowing, they'll be able to use that particular water for irrigation. And if ever they have no water, that water must be purified. And it really is in less than the burden of municipalities to say they do not have adequate water provision for our communities. It's a natural resource. We can't watch our natural resource like that. We've got resources in the marine, in the season. How do we ensure that young people benefit? Because our resources are not limited to your gold, platinum, and other. How do we ensure that our people tap into those resources in the sea? Must be able to skill them so that they have an understanding of developing themselves and their community through that particular resource. The issue of farming. It's very important. It also needs skill so that you have got a sustaining family. You don't have a situation whereby a young person will come and request for funding, and thereafter, whatever he requested is collapsed. You have a predatory system where people will be, forever begging from government. We must have sustainable farming. Previously I said we must use our own farmers. They are there, but do we use them? Do we expose our young people to have the training technicality? We don't do that. How do we expect us to thrive in farming? Food security is about providing food from the soil. Young people must go and till the soil and must have the competencies. We cannot expect a situation where land redistribution works, for example. You have great plantations in different provinces. In a province where I come from, you have sapiquity plantation. It used to employ more than 2,000 people, but there are few people there. The land has been distributed. Unfortunately, our people don't have skills. So we must make sure that through the existing farmers that we have, they are able to transfer the skills to these young people. Let's go back during democratic dispensation, what happened? When the ANC took over government, it didn't have a ready-made government. But a governor was there, transferred the skills of governing the Reserve Bank to a person who understands where this country comes from. This is what we must be able to do. Because so many farmers, many thriving farmers, they do not actually have that particular social responsibility. We must make sure that we tap into those avenues before their farms could collapse or be redistributed back to the people who were once dropped to their head.
Thank you, Chairperson. There is just one slight follow up. On your understanding of the cooperative, particularly in the rural context.
Cooperatives are very imperative because if ever you can look at the system now of our people who are vendors and workers in the street, they sell the same product, and some their products are bought and some they are not bought, they perish. If ever we can group all these people who are participating in one business, so that we can be able to even organize international markets, regional markets for them, for their products to be sold outside. Now they are disintegrated. One is selling items at the corner there, the other one there, and they are unable to make profit that they expect to make on daily basis. But if ever we can be able to put them together, no matter it's in clothing, producing bags, producing steel, but it should be a cooperative so that you know that when you supply in bulk, and the profit will be able to uplift the socio-economic conditions of these people, equitable. There will be no one who is more bigger than the other. These people will develop equitably.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable
Thank you, Chair. Good evening to you, Mr. Rangat. I have listened very attentively and processed everything that you have said. And I would at this point like us to turn our attention directly to the FYBA specifically and zoom in now. The past 3 years for the FYBA has been on establishment, and as we take on the next 3 years, priorities are bound to change and move away from establishment and so on. You did say that the FYBA created a footprint for itself and so on. So, to summarily all that you have said, what would you think are the top three key priority areas for the NYD over the next 3 years? Thank you, Chair.
Skill development, economic participation, and the broader national youth service. I think that as a country, we must be able to say what kind of skills do our young people need. We should not just necessarily say people are not skilled or people lack skills, but there are skills that would find expression in the conditions of our communities.
I said it previously that the economy of different villages is bad in most cases in urban areas. You have a situation whereby you have got a household in a village. You need your car to be serviced. There is no a place where you can take that car of yours to service in your village. You take it to town. You see, the economy of that particular village now is uplifting the economy of an urban area. We must make sure that we have got that particular service of, facility of servicing cars in our own rural areas. Young people, when they have got these skills, they are able to practice their skills where they are living. Because this situation of whereby people think that there is a provision of work in town, we must deal with that. Because the villages will never improve. People will come and crowd in suburbs, will come and crowd in townships and leave their areas, and will always lament about rural development. Development will never take place.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor.
Good evening. Mr. Rahata, my questions are going to be, you must relax, I think you've been relaxed, maybe even the way you speak makes you more relaxed, but not done it. You must try yourself to be a bit shorter because of the hour. It's very interesting, some of us are from the house right now, and there has been a debate as I'm speaking now, on the issue of the spear that is in the public discourse in the Johannesburg, the gallery. The spear raises two things, a picture of the president and a critique to the current government. 3 weeks or 4 weeks back, COSATU and the Youth of the Democratic Alliance had a conflict in Johannesburg. I want to understand, because to me those things were speaking to the key fundamentals of the Constitution. What is your perspective in relation to that? You can note my questions. What is your perspective in relation to the Constitution of South Africa? You have indeed answered some of my questions, but there are perceptions that the ANC is using the National Youth Development Agency to dispatch patronage to its youth, and not only the National Youth Development Government as well, so on. Therefore, what is your view? How do we turn that thing around? How do we turn that around? The Youth of South Africa, through the NYDA Small Business Entrepreneurship, the Small Medium Business Entrepreneurship, we have built people who do not create work, who wake up and go to a restaurant, and we have built an element of affection to work. We have not built a youth that is career oriented. What is your view? Just briefly, but important question, but briefly, what is your view?
Then be
talk about cover too long. We have taken more than an hour. So I'm going to cut you.
Then be my religion orientation, diversity of different cultures, and spiritual diversity in this country. We do not tolerate that. And even people who know what democracy is would not tolerate that. It's intolerable it presupposes, you know, even intolerance in our own society. Very unfortunate. Freedom of expression should not denigrate a human being of President Bachelor. When you have got your expertise and knowledge with your art, why don't you do other things? Because you can't have a portrait, irrespective of whether this person is occupying a high office in the land, or this person is just a farmer or mine or a miner in the mine. You can't have a such portrait. Because it even destroyed the social cohesion that since democratic dispensation, all of us have been battling to say, let's find each other on the table of sisterhood and brotherhood. Such actions should be condemned. Hey, we can't tolerate that. The issue of your youth, the DA youth, and the March of Kozak, my view is that they were supposed to have these two parties were supposed to have engaged each other. But the one who wanted to submit grievances was supposed to engage this one and say, what is your view? Let's discuss this because it's our shared interest. We've got common interest. Kozaki wants unemployment to be reduced. The deal of the youth of the DDA also is on the same very place. You can't have a situation where but the youth of the DDA, it had a miscalculated approach to go there and submit grievances to Kozatu House. What would Kozatu do now? The other part from Kozatu, the issue of tolerance, the DAU is coming here. The Kozatu is mobilizing with the workers again. What do you expect now? Don't be a better fit. The two parties are very, very, they have not been able to handle this particular situation. Can you briefly just ask the last question?
Yeah, the obsession with work of the youth of South Africa and the kind of business people who have built. That's basically that. But on the other one, is it that you speak and condemn this picture of the president? Is it not because the president ultimately will be the one who are going to go? I can see you are so passionate about this picture than the other aspect of the DA.
No, it has nothing to do with the appointment. This is the culture that I was brought up. Is the culture that we got from our forefathers. Respect another human being. I am because you are. That's where we actually should understand this thing. You can have different views with me, but don't turn that situation to denigrate my human being. Speak about the issue. Don't attack an individual. That is a culture that we must be able to inculcate in our own people. No matter I may be from IC, COPE, ANC, this is what we must understand, really. If ever I differ with you, I will dare argue and come with my difference, but don't attack a human being.
That one, I believe that it should not be tolerated, it must be condemned. And the business, the kind of business that we must be able to create, business principle, the entrepreneurial principle, must inculcate a culture whereby young people, they are independent in terms of running their own businesses. We cannot tolerate a predatory system. We want young people who will revolutionize the business industry and be able to come with methodologies of saying, here is the fund, the NYDA is giving us this funding opportunity, and we are going to utilize them to change the thinking perception of our society in general of how to run business. Because now we've got a predatory system whereby young people, majority of them, even South African adults, would just do business with government tenders on consistent basis. We want a situation whereby we have independent entrepreneur leaders who would be able to even come with methodologies and innovate our business and the manner in which we run our things here in South Africa. Thanks.
I've got two issues to you. Both of them you actually hinted on, but you were addressing some dimensions of those. The first would relate to issues of social cohesion. You have hinted on that, you articulated certain aspects. But my question would then be to find out from you, why do you think we've got difficulty in realizing social cohesion? Not really in such a short space of time, but why do you think there are serious elements that threaten our social cohesion than bringing people together, and what could be done in that regard? The second issue, you related a lot thus far to issues of business activities by young people, their economic participation, and the fact that their businesses do collapse, although you were more concerned about the agricultural industry. The issue I'm raising relates to, across the board, these businesses collapse in their majority, or most of them. What do you think could be done to have a situation where these businesses are actually sustainable?
Social cohesion, the impediments that plague us to have the social cohesion. For you to have social cohesion, you must have shared vision as a nation, shared challenges, shared prosperity, and a shared future. Do we have one in South Africa? Different sectors of our population. Some, they have got their own interests, which they would want them to prevail over others. Some, they think that they are less significant than other people. They do not even participate in democratic processes.
Understand? So, this is some of the challenges that are making us not to achieve the social cohesion that we expect to have. And even the challenges of bread and butter issues, they contribute for us not to achieve the social cohesion. Because if ever I am advantageous than you, and you are disadvantaged, I may say that any democratic participatory process, it doesn't suit me. It suits those who have, because once they use for me to participate in this process, even tomorrow I'm going to be like who I am. These are the challenges that we must be able to resolve for us to have a social cohesion, Mr. Makule. I am from Limpopo, from a very rural area, where there is no provision of water.
Mr. Gerald, you are now going towards 2 hours with us, which makes unfair for other candidates. I've asked you to be short in your responses, because it should have been done with both of you by now, with the other candidate, and we are still with you. I think it's really unfair for the next candidate.
Briefly to answer why business are collapsing, it's because they don't have a sustainable strategy of running their own business. Doesn't mean that all of them are collapsing. But some who got opportunities and they are collapsing because they don't have a sustainable strategy to run. So be able to guide and even train these young entrepreneurs not to depend on little profits that they are having, but to invest more for the growth and development of their business. Thanks.
And I take you, Coach Jefferson?
Well, thanks very much. Good evening, Mr. Rahaka. Can you, for instance, I'm sure you, as a person who is working or who is passionate about youth development, you would know the law that governs the NYDA. Do you know that law? You should know that.
The National Youth Development Defense Act.
Thank you. Having listened to you to your theoretic, you in your response to one of the members' questions, you are the first one out that which is very good if it is true, that you don't have a weekend of your own. Every weekend you're dealing with the issues of youth development. Do you still remember what you did last week?
Yes.
What is that?
I assisted one family detected by a young person. This person has passed the matric, and she has passed the matric in flying colors. I asked her, why are you not schooling? She said she doesn't have money. I said, there's a provision of NSFAS There are bazaaries, you have got Met here, you have got Size, there are missing bazaaries here in terms of let's go. And I even took her to the regional offices of health in Capricorn. They are issuing those forms now. She has filled those forms. And we are waiting for the response, and I'm very sure she's going to be given that bazaar.
Thanks for the confidence. For instance, understand the parliamentary process. Would you know, and if you don't know our party, because would you know in terms of the taking of the acts that govern the NYDA, would you know if it's, which, would you know how it's taken?
How is it?
Text. In Parliament, we take the act or the bill in front of us. It's section 76, section 75, section 77.
I don't understand the language. You see your jargon that you are using. I'm not familiar to it.
As I said, if you're not familiar, I would pardon you for that.
But I'm going to ask you just a quick one. In your CV, you highlighted that you have done certificate in tourism. And part of the work of the industry of tourism at times is dominated by young people. What are the critical areas that you think that within that industry should be improved or should, let me just say, what are the critical areas that you think NYDA should be involved in?
This is currently developing in the tourism sector. And if you know any program that NYDA is involved with within that particular sector, how can it be improved? The issue of owning businesses in the industry, ranging from travel agencies, hotels and sightseeing tours. Young people go to school, but what they are lacking is the funding to establish themselves within the industry. And they find the well established business, because in the industry, the tourism industry, there is a high level of competitiveness. So the NYDA should be able to give the young people funding to have this business and compete with other businesses that are already established in the same industry. And again, train them before, because what is highly needed in tourism is not your qualification, it's your expertise. Are you able to satisfy the needs of a client who came to South Africa? Because that is what tourism is all about. When these people are satisfied about the services in Kruger National Park, in one hotel in Zigama, they will come back and say, then South Africa, we enjoy hospitality and so on. So the NYDA must be able to facilitate that particular training and assist the training.
The other part of the question, do you know any program that the NYDA is involved in on the tourism?
No.
Tourism, maybe just to highlight, tourism, we don't have external tourism. That's why, let's say, brandy. tourism encourages us to tour our own country so that we increase it, because we can make a lot of money, contribute to the economy in terms of tourism. That's my first job when I came out of university. I was in the tourism sector. So part of that work I still remember. It's quite one of the critical areas that young people should be able to serve and make sure that they develop in that area. Just one last thing. In terms of the process, what's your view of our process as Parliament? And if you have anything you'd want us to see improving, what is it? Do you think the process needs to be interacted with the advert, improved, nomination, coming through to interviews? What is it you think the process is fair? What do you think?
I think that Parliament should actually, you are doing the good work. Let me comment by saying you are doing the good work. But where you lack is a service standard. Are you to be able to provide a service within expected parameters of time? It's where the Parliament lacks and must be able to improve on that. When I was listening to the President there in the college, he was speaking about some deals that were not actually fast-tracked. You understand? The backlog. So it's where you are lacking. You must be able to improve on that. But generally, you are doing a good work, more especially of consulting our own people so that they can have a say in the legislation that you are doing, and you are able to have the responses, at first hand, that people are unhappy or they are happy about your bills.
I was asking about this process, but on the bills, now you're touching my area of work. There's a difference on what the President said and the issue of fast tracking. He was talking about the ability of bills when they get to Parliament to be concluded within a particular time. We don't promote fast tracking of bills, because if you talk about fast tracking of bills, that's where you end up with less public participation, because you must rush through the legislation. We don't promote that as Parliament. We don't agree to that. What he was alluding to, the ability, because there are certain bills when they get to committees because of the work, they don't prioritize those bills. So he was reflecting on that. So there is two different things. When you talk about fast-tracking, it's when a bill is thrown to us, they say, quickly, rush through, pass it through. That's being fast-tracked. Normally we do fast-tracking when a bill has a constitutional court obligation for us to meet it within a particular time. And the replication, like now we have the criminal sexual offences bill, will fast track that process, because currently people who commit offences on sexual behaviour such as rape and others are not getting penalties. So you would fast track legislation when it's in that particular context. I thought, let me just clarify so that you don't go out with the notion that the President said we must fast track legislation. Do you have any questions for us? Thank you very much and enjoy your evening. Shall we take the next candidate in this?
Thank you. turning the television.
For whom?
Welcome, Mr. Ngozi. You can start him.
Thank you.
I can see you are adjusting. Here with me is Honorable Maine, the chairperson of the co-chairperson of the committee. My name is Mamunoko Kubai, with us in front here. Of you is members of the committee. We are going to take questions. Each member is going to ask you a question. Feel free to respond. I'm going to ask you to switch off the mic when you are not speaking so that it doesn't create the echo. Once the member asks you a question, you'll press the button, then you speak. Respond directly. I will not come in. And then you will follow up. You can respond. If you're not clear, you can ask them to rephrase the question. I want to firstly apologize for starting with you late. We really apologize for starting late. I know we were supposed to take you in the morning, you missed your flight, and then had you rescheduled. We had been sitting in the afternoon, and then we started with the other candidate. We have an hour. I hope you don't take us long. I don't like cutting candidates because I want to make sure that you are able to express yourself. That please mind that you have an hour with us. In responding, just try and be precise to the point and not go into too much detail. Honorable member, I'm going to start with Honorable Mali, who is going to ask you the first question. As soon as she asks, then you can respond. Honorable Mali.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good evening, Mr. Ngozi. I think Chair also forgot to mention that you are the last candidate. So you must do your best. Né? The energy levels have gone down. All right. I'm going to ask you questions that are related to public administration, focusing on the Constitution in particular. You may know that Chapter 10 of the Constitution provides some basic principles governing public administration. Can you just allude to that, if you are aware of that?
Thanks a lot. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. And I'd like to apologize for the flight in the morning, but it's an honor for me to be here today and to express myself. Basically, based on your question about the public administration, it's about all the admin that happens inside the committee, especially when we will be on the NYTA. That will be our responsible to make sure that the admin of the board is up to scratch and the corporate governance is we're working on it, and we make sure that the integrity of the organization is not going down and is not being used outside as a company that cannot operate and cannot organize itself, and we cannot actually put their documents and the reporting correctly.
Again, on public administration, I wanted to talk about issues related to intergovernmental relations. How would you make sure that the agenda of NYTA is also felt at local government?
NYDA is a National Youth Development Agency, which has to move from the national to the local government. We have to implement the representative that will represent us under the local government. It is going to be our mandate to make sure that from the national and to the local, because it's where service delivery must be. It's where we actually have to express ourselves. It's where the community actually have to respond to us, and we also have to respond to them. The local government is very important for us to have representatives under their sphere, so that we make sure our service delivery and our youth programs have been seen under the local government.
Lastly, just the characteristics of a youth commissioner.
All right, when talking about youth commissioner, I'm not sure that you're referring to the NYDA.
Yes, that's what we are interviewing for. That's what we are interviewing you for. So I would want you to explain to us what you understand, you know. What is it that we are looking for? Yes, said maybe just give us the characteristics.
The National Youth Development Agency, it's an organization that has to make sure that there's a youth
let me clarify. A commissioner. Is there a commissioner? What do you understand a commissioner should be? What are
the... Can you explain?
What is asking about the
Now, what is asking to you as a board member? Because Patricio is the old one, which is the National Commission, which was the Youth Commission, as a board. Yeah. into a two-tending screen. And water is one of the priorities. And if you establish a business that is actually channeled towards maybe solar heating, especially for electricity, solar is needed. Most of the RTP houses these days, they build, they need solar heating. But when you look at the business of our youngsters these days, it's still the old-fashioned business they're establishing. Example like the container of the telephones in the corner. These days, people, they buy 5 rands at a time. They don't use, it's not a priority for them to go and do a public phone. Then, other things, again, when I've seen some of the problems for like, especially like DJing and so on. From my side, as a developing country, the priorities are things that need by community. It's where the government channels the money. It's where even the international community channels the money. I never seen an international donor coming to South Africa and donating for DJs, for best DJs in this country. But I've seen international donors coming here, donating money towards developing or towards water or towards turning things green, because it's the international awareness. And on international awareness, it's where we have to come up with a program where we can actually shift our youth to focus on things like engineering and things like infrastructure development. What is needed on infrastructure development? On my background, I'm an engineer by background, but on infrastructure development, what's happening there is we need things like people who can do bricks. We need people who can be plumbers. We need people like we can be artisans. We need people who come as boiler makers, welders, and so on, to open business towards that channel. And again, by opening business towards those channels, it's where actually the government is providing money. If you look at like things like solar heating, it's some of the goods that come from overseas, which is intentionally actually exported to us. But when it comes to South Africa, you find again 3 or 4 companies which are not even managed by you, they're managed by international people because they know it's a need. They focus to say, what do I do? Around the world, there's a need of putting of changing all things because of the global warming. Then the global warming is actually pushing us towards the challenge of working together as the international community, and it's where money is being put. If our youngsters, they can actually focus into those kind of business, I think we will not have the failure of the businesses. Apart from that, again, there's a social cohesion. We talk about social cohesion. It's where, as a business, once you establish a business, it's not about, there's a concept of how do you manage that business. It's where we bring the skills of becoming as an entrepreneur. At the same time, you understand the corporate governance of the company. And with having strong people in terms of your accounts and so on. I've seen young people opening business, the tax return. Next year, tax return, it goes back to SARS to say, we didn't do auditing. If people can understand a business needs someone to audit it, needs someone to do bookkeeping, so that they understand that every year they have to submit to SARS, they have to engage yourself with SARS, so that your business keep on going. The young people, they still have this thing of, if they got even, let's say, a credit card, they'll use it anywhere and they won't keep the invoices and so on. Even professionals, they do the same mistakes and you find the business goes down and down, little bit. Then the corporate governance, I think it's where, when it comes to social cohesion, it's where we have to implement people who actually can be a business mentor, make sure that kind of business is becoming successful.
Any follow-up?
Evening, Mr. Good. Can you take us through the legislative process in our country? Your understanding how the process unfolds. I'll be generous, you can even use the provincial process or the national one. It's entirely up to you.
Maybe if I understand you correctly, you're talking about the reporting structure, the way the structure stands from the provincial or the national.
No, I'm talking about the legislation process. If ever there's going to be any legislation in South Africa, there's a process that is being followed. So I'm requesting you to unpack to us how it's being done in our country, South Africa, because it's not the same as any other country.
From my side, when it comes to legislature, I actually don't have that knowledge about the process of the way the legislature works. My background, I worked in corporate. I worked in youth development projects, and it's where actually I've been involved all my life.
I've gone through your CV. I must comment, it's very impressive, and you have done a number of things that are really assisting, and I'm more interested in the part that you have what we call in South Africa discuss skill. Don't you think it would be a waste for you to go to be just a board member? Try to convince us why it's more relevant for you to go there, because you are one of the few that we have interviewed that is called what you have. I mean, your CV is quite impressive, and you are doing a wonderful job around Soweto and taking those that are dealing with science and the like, and you do have that skill. Convince us, market yourself, why it's relevant for you to be part of the board of the NYDA.
Thank you so much. To be a part of the board of NYDA, I've been even attending some of the NYDA. I remember they had the youth festival. I went there and they appointed me as one of the delegates. Then I was actually went there because I wanted to see what is actually they're implementing. Then it's where I see the opportunity. I said, I'm doing this thing on a smaller scale, but people are still appreciating me. Every year I've got calls from different schools. I don't even have capacity. Even companies, they want to take me to put it on their own structure so that I can implement the youth development programs for themselves. But I wanted to be a part of the government where actually it's implementing all over South Africa. And by being small, I wanted to grow. I wanted to see myself implementing, not complaining down there, saying, if I'm there, I was going to do 1, 2, 3. I wanted to see myself doing with them and making sure that those programs I used to implement while I didn't have those resources. But if the resources are there, I can make sure that I'm implementing those programs and becoming more successfully, more than the way I used to do it without resources. I think I can do much better if I can get those resources, because I started my own NGO after completing my matric, my university level. It's where I started my NGO, but I started without the resources. But I pushed up after 2 years, 3 years, up until companies. The only people came to me and identifying that I'm doing, they came as donors to me. But for now, by seeing this, it was one of my opportunities. Actually, even my colleagues were saying, go for this because we think we're going to do best on this. Then I think I have to grow, and I have to make sure that I touch people all over South Africa, not on a smaller scale like Soweto and Hackett. I have to move forward. Thank you.
Were you invited by the NYDA in the youth festival?
No, I was not invited. I just went there because I saw it in an advert, and I was like, let me go there. By arriving there, they recognized some of the guys there. They've seen me in Soweto, especially some of the youth league guys. They've seen me doing the program, because every year when they open the schools, I've got this program I'm running where I actually make sure that if the schools are open, where we take the best students of last year to come and present them to students or current students, seeing that this is a person who passed matric last year by 5 distinction, is going to do actually, or is going to do civil engineering. Then people, they recognize me from there. And if I went there, it was easy for me to get in. But it was my opportunity to go and see what is actually going on and what I can do for them. I didn't know that these positions were advertised anyway. After seeing that people still advertised, like, oh, these things are advertised, let me take my chance, and my colleagues supported me to take some chances on it. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Good. Thanks, Chairperson.
Hello, you're my friend, Mr. Good. Yeah.
you must realize that you are doing okay. I've been saying the same thing to many people who have come here, but I think you're doing okay. And your other advantage with me is that the two of us are from a technical type of institution. Now, I understand what you're trying to ask me. In South Africa, 72% of the youth is unemployed. But I want you more, because you are different to some people who are dealing with more of politics, but you are just saying what Minister Nzimande is talking about, a skill basis. Your thing to me is that you don't talk much, you are an action man. You're not a politician as well. Therefore, talk to me. In South Africa, our government has created opportunities. But what has been a taboo is that a person sleeps and wakes up and be an engineer. Wakes up, he's never been schooled. Offer engineering services. What is your perspective about that? Because it's part of the thing that I'm not creating something that is wrong. Maybe for the first time I'm here from an engineering perspective, what are the dangers? Bridges are collapsing, towns are collapsing. What is your perspective in terms of turning? How would you turn, use your skills, turn the poor services we have? Applying your skills in the National Youth Development Agency. That's one point I want to ask. And the second point, you might be running a business, you might have been in a business. The core functions of the National Youth Development is to build business, is to build services for the youth, empower, address unemployment. But the NYDA is using 42% of its budget to employ staff. How would you turn that around? Lastly, perceptions are that the NYDA gives these big tenders to people who just wake up and became civil engineers. They never been in school, but well, they have a membership card of the ANC. What do you think the NYDA should be approaching? How would you change the perception that the NYDA is seen as an institution of the ANC?
Thank you. The first question, you talked about people who wake up tomorrow and then they become engineers. To me, my first priority is education. I think if as a part of NYDA, we have to invest a lot into our education, skills development programs. The skills development programs are the things that are going to phase away the building of the road which are not sustainable, and the houses which are not sufficient for someone to live on it. But we have to start from the basics. The basics is education. We have to make sure that our programs are in line with the education, are in line with the Department of Education, making sure that the youth of tomorrow, we are not creating a youth of not educated youth. We have to make sure that the youth coming to us and going to be leaders for us are the people who are going to be more educated. There's programs we have to establish from LET colleges to the technical to university level, but starting on a ground base, which is matriculation, grade 11, underneath, making sure that there's a platform for those youngsters, and we make sure we channel them in the right direction, that we prioritize the education than being a person who wakes up tomorrow being something, because the role models of today, if you see in TV, it's people actually who became rich just like this. To me, it's not being, I'm prioritizing to be wealthy. Wealthy, to be wealthy in mind, and to be wealthy and have a sustainable foundation. You know, you're not going to fall down anytime because you've got a basic education and you went through the training program. For me, what I'm prioritizing to the youth is that get educated and make sure that don't use education as a a weapon that says that you have to jump the stages. Because the, some of the guys, they've got engineering degree, but they want to jump some of the phases. On my background, I've been trained from being a laborer. While I've got a degree, but I was a laborer from there. But I learned a lot along the line that you work hard to become where you are. It's not going to prioritize from our grade level up until the university level.
Any follow up?
Okay. But that people believe that the NYDA is an extension of ANC patronage. How would you change that?
NYDA is the National Youth Development Agency, which have to serve the whole of South Africans, especially disadvantaged youth from a very previous disadvantaged community. As an NYDA, we have to make sure that we don't use a membership as an access to our accounts or access to our portfolio of the companies. And we don't have to prioritize that NYDA, we have to make sure it's in line with the government constitution. And by making sure it's in line with the government constitution, which means we have to serve all South Africans, regardless of their background or where they come from or what their political level they are. Then I think from my side, it's a matter of integrity and being honest in your position and make sure that you push the values of the agent. And by pushing the values of the agent, it's not by taking sides to anybody. It's to make sure that you implement what has been mandated to implement to the society.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and how are you, Mr. Akosa?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good. I think I've got two simple questions. Firstly, shall you familiarize yourself with the NYDA Act? Can you briefly give us the functions of the NYDA? And two, serving on the board requires a significant amount of time for meetings, either your board meetings, your parliamentary meetings, either giving reports to parliament, to the president, lobbying other government departments. How much time do you anticipate you'll have to devote to the board? And lastly, there's a public outcry that NYDA services are not accessible by young people out there, especially in the rural areas. How would you ensure accessibility of the National Youth Development Agency to those young rural people?
Alright, let me just start with the accessibility. The accessibility to the young to the community, it's all about developing a structure that is going to be implemented nationally to the local. Especially if you look at, as you mentioned, something very important about the rural areas. Rural areas have been one of the areas which were not a priority into our development. And then it's where we have to start building up, having structure, having offices which are going to report directly to us and making sure that we've got time to move and to see the service delivery has been implemented. It's our responsibility to make sure that we visit, we've got visiting time, any time, to make sure that those people, they see us, we are there, and they make sure that those offices are actually functioning according to what we mandated to. Then, and we have to have like a committee that makes sure that as a board, there's people who make sure that if I'm on, let's say I'm on Northwest area, make sure that on the Northwest, I'm visiting all the centers and making sure the centers are actually functioning and make sure that people are working on those centers, they're actually implementing what we have. Because to reach to the ground, it's where we have, as a leader, we have to make sure that you go there and see by yourself, is it happening what you mandated? Not only sitting in the office and getting a report without knowing is that report sufficient enough, or is that a report you compiled by someone without those implementations. And I think it's another one thing that was you asked me about the time. When it comes to youth development, I've been involved since, I think, 2001, doing the youth development. I resigned from my job. I used to work for Kenneka LCA. I resigned just to do the youth development project. And then I've been sustaining myself socially by doing just current opening a shop. I'm an engineer, I open a shop, now open a company that is been run by someone else, actually, just for me to have time to go to youth development. My Saturday and Sunday, I'm with students. Like last week, Saturday, I was with students in Orlando. My Sunday, I was in Heidelberg with students again. I've been around with development for the youth. But I think the time is a very important factor. And you have to manage your time sufficiently. Because if you don't manage your time, you lose some of the things, because there's a family support, there's youth development, you have to make sure that you balance both. Because by losing the family support and to work into more into youth, then you lose something along the way. Then you have to make sure you balance your time, you make your schedule correctly, and you implement according to what schedule, your schedule is. But for my side, I'm one of the guys, when it comes to youth, I sacrifice. I make sure that I'm there for them.
Lastly, functions of the agent.
All right, thank you. The function of the agent is to initiate projects and make sure that we coordinate those projects and make sure that we are there for those projects, and we've got this social cohesion within those projects to uplift the youth of South Africa, and to make sure that we create jobs for them, and by creating jobs, which means we are fighting the poverty. And then we make sure that we groom small entrepreneurs to become a big businessman who can manage the country in the future in terms of the businesses.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good evening, Mr. Nordin. My question relates to governance. And it's very important that you must make sure when you're in any organization that governance is 100% or between 90 and 100%. There can be something which you don't regulate. But just tell us, in relation to governance in the NYTA, and also the skills you have, you are actually very good, especially in voting. And in that situation, you have to adhere to certain criteria. Now, from your experience, what will you do if we elect you as a member of the NYTA to ensure that there's good governance in the NYTA? Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. The corporate governance is something very important to any organization, to any company. As you make sure that it's true by having people who are going to report and the auditing of the finance being used, there's someone responsible for that, making sure that it's keeping all the transactions that are happening on the institution, and making sure that the members of the NYTA board, they are there on time and they are well behaved, and they make sure that they control, they implement it according to the constitution and to the accounting procedures, making sure that every member is audited in terms of what they do, because we have to make sure that we've got a report that reports back to the government, that everyone is participating, everyone is making sure that any transaction, especially when it comes to accounting, any transaction is being kept right and all the slips are there, and making sure that the meetings are recorded. The secretary is making sure that all the items that we, the meetings we are having, is being recorded, and our projects are being implemented according to what we have initiated, according to our plan for the year. And we have to make sure that those projects are implemented without any doubt, and there's no financial irregularity along those projects. And I think
any follow-up, Honorable Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, Mr. Ngozi. Mr. Ngozi, the first one would be just for you to assist me to know you better. I've interacted with your citizens and it confused me. Are you self-employed, or are you at Billion Construction as the near quantities are there, or as we have just said now that we have opened a shop? Just for me to know better. The second one, also for me to know better, who nominated you? Is it the NYCA who nominated you as per what you have written here in this application letter? Because in the first paragraph you are saying you would like to submit your application and acceptance of nomination by the National Youth Development Agency. Or you nominated yourself. I mean, as for those ones, it's just for me to know you better. Then now coming to the gist of the thing, Chairperson. Your CV, Mr. Nkosi, makes me to understand that you are schooled in development management. Your CV says to me you have done a development management for. Now, understanding the demographics of the South African, how would you pull out the youth which is in the deep rural area out of the deprivation trap such that they have a taste of economic freedom?
Thank you. Coming to employment, I'm self-employed. As I mentioned before, I said I resigned around, I think I didn't mention the year, but I mentioned something about resigning. I resigned from that Billion Construction in 2010. And some of my projects, I was doing projects, even that Billion Construction was one of the sponsors of my initiatives. And also Greenac LTA, if you look at correct on my CV. Then first I worked for Greenac and then it was Billion. Greenac LTA was one of them as the sponsor of my project and also Billion Construction. Then after I resigned is where I started my own business, which is including that part of the shop. Coming to the nomination, actually it's me nominating myself. It's not NYPA. I actually applied, then which means I limited myself to come on this interview, actually, to accept to come on the interview. That was a part of my acceptance to come to the interview. Then you spoke about the development management. Development management, it was one of the subjects which is included under the building science. We do development management, and it's where you learn how to develop, especially the rural area and other developed areas with infrastructure. You learn to make sure that what's needed before you develop, maybe a housing or a mall and so on. There's a part of zoning and going to look at the town planning, all that process. That's where development management comes from. But the development management is one of the subjects you can use in terms of developing towards the youth. And using the same engineering skills we are using when we are developing a structure. Because you start on the ground first, you go on top. That's why I mentioned that we have to start from the matriculant. Matriculant is where our foundation is, or the high school level, it's where our foundation is. Before we can implement any project where the matriculants, they are not in channel to go through those projects, it's where the type came the thing of the business failure. Because when the matriculant or the high school level is not trained what is needed for the future of the country, then we're going to have the same business that are failing, the touch shops that are closed down, the phones that are not operating because people now they buy 5 to 2 and airtime, but they're still opening the public phones. Then we have to be more focusing in the development of the high school level so that we have the generation that are channeled towards the developing country, what is needed on a developing country, and what money is being invested to by the international community and also South Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with what I would advise that Mr. Ngozi withdraw some of the statements made in his CV, like page 1 in his application letter, as I was reading, and also page 1 of his CV, because according to his CV, his current position is a senior quality surveyor and the current employer in Bill Construction. You can just so that we have a correct record, otherwise I'm satisfied.
Maybe
let me try and channel this thing now. All the comments you've made forward looking. The board is going to be in office for 3 years, over the next 3 years. And there's a lot that needs to be done in the country, and obviously we can't do it all at once. And so, what are the three key priority areas, or what it is, or the three things that you would want the NYDA to have solidly achieved in the next 3 years within the context and confines of its mandate? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. My first priority is developing the youngsters into what the country is in need of. The country is more in need of the skills. I think that's my first priority. We have to invest a lot into the skills development, especially the technical skills. The technical skills we need in South Africa is one of the major issues which each and every sector of the engineering is trying to get, but is not getting from us. But for example, if you look at the ESCOM is busy now putting up the power station. If you go and do your calculations on those power stations, you will see that there's a lot of people coming from outside countries because they've got skills. And there's a lot of people coming doing training. On those training, they're actually getting retrenched, or they've just been move from those positions to other positions down there, because they present their own CV that they can be a welder. But when we try a person that is a real welder, we find out definitely it's not a welder. He got a certificate somewhere, but he didn't do more practical. The thing we have to do is to make sure they go and study being a welder or a plumber, and make sure that we inject them to some of the companies that can use them so that they can get more training, so that when he leaves the company, he knows exactly he can actually be a real plumber, not just a plumber by doing a course of plumbing, then you've got a certificate and then you call yourself a plumber. That's a major issue in South Africa, because we have people who go into 3 months training course. Even to be a bricklayer is not just for 3 months. You have to make sure that you do that 3 months and then you go the process of training practically, where you can see you can actually do the training course. Then that's my first priority, of going down there and making sure people have been trained, have been put to technical colleges, and have been injected to the company, and we're creating those people to become the real technicians in the future. Then the other one is to the social cohesion. I don't want to forget the part of the urban culture, because by leaving the urban culture out, it's like we're losing our identity. Urban culture is only, it's very important when it comes to identify ourselves. Urban culture is very important when it comes to identify ourselves to our international community, so that they can know who are the real South Africans. We have to implement some of the projects into developing the talent, going to more rural areas and unleash those talent, and making sure that we get real people who can expose us in the international level, and expose our culture in the international level. That's some of the projects I want to actually implement. Then the other one is give the portion to our youth in terms of new ideas. The ideas are fitting with our youth. If you can get correctly, the guy who came to Facebook is the guy who was still young in the university. But in South Africa, we, especially on our NYTA, there's no portion where people can actually express themselves. We can come up with miracles. We can come up with something which international community don't have, by engaging youth coming with different projects where we can invest and say, this is a project where we want people to come up with inventing some of the things that we can actually sell to the international community. I think that those three options, that's what's going to be more my priority. Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairperson. You are sitting here, I charmed you. Eh? I did. That's not true. You are sitting as if I have charmed you. Mr. Nkosi, just one thing, just to check. Apologies, we've been asking steady. We started very early at 8 o'clock, sitting for the interview and speaking after finishing very late last night. You are mainly involved in a number of areas of work. How do you see your experience helping in supporting the work of NYTA? As a quantity survey, I know somebody asked you how to the first didn't you want to do something, but I just want to ask, how do you see your role being there? And then another thing linked to your area of work and NYT, what are the programs that you know that NYT runs in relation to your field of building and construction?
Thank you, Chair. To make NYCA to be actually to be where actually I think must be, it's for using my skills as a QS to run NYCA, because what happens when from my community where I come from, maybe the only guy who got this qualification. Then what happened, there was this drive from the community and this drive from the youngsters. They wanted to know actually what did I study. Then when I look at it, because they saw me as a role model, they see me as one of the role models, but they didn't understand what actually did I study, what actually I'm doing. Then it's where I came up with the project where I make sure that the youth, they got this career guidance, so that they will understand that to be a QS, you need one of the requirements is 1, 2, 3. And it's where we have, as an NYT, to make sure we implement the good role models to our community, making sure we use those young professionals which are around the community, even if it's going to be one professional which is on one street, but we can change people around that sector. It's where we must actually have the database of the young professional around location, rural areas, because we look at the leaders. It's one person maybe coming from Daum and is a civil engineer. In Daum, that guy can come back and bring 7 civil engineers, but by only understanding and making sure you give the information and give the what makes you to be there as a civil engineer, what actually grabs you and push you to become a civil engineer. Without, like my background, I'm from very poor background, but what happened, by getting good results, that's what makes me to be here today and to be a QS. Because those results, people recognize outside, then they offer us like father. Well, I think we deserve someone like you to go and study with this kind of results. And it's not we have to have money to go to university. It's only to express yourself on a metric level and make sure that on a metric level you get good results, then someone's going to recognize you outside and you can be a civil engineer. But NYTA, we have to have a structure and trying to integrate and making our data of different communities and the role players and the role models of that community and young professionals who come from different communities and work with them closer, so that they can come up with other professionals on those communities.
Thank you very much. Just one concern, you keep on referring these young people, we will do this for them. Don't you see yourself as part of the whole system of young people, being a player within? Because if there's development of young people, you then benefit as a young person. Because, I mean, the disabled society says that nothing about us without us. As young people, should, that should be the slogan as well, nothing about us without us. But my question is, you keep on referring to young people as a third party and not including yourself. You want to respond to that?
By the way I'm referring is that, because if you look at once we ignore the other young ones and we put ourselves there, we're not going to achieve what we want. What we want that society that works together and making sure that these people which are there, down there, they actually link with us, not ignoring the people around the society, the professionals or the young guys around the society. Because the structure now, when I look at it, it's one of the structures that actually is not gelling together with the young people. Also myself, I was not gelling together with NYTA. I did a lot of projects. I did engineering expo, I did career expos. One of the projects, I think, was where NYTA, one of the guys of NYTA came, but they just put banners there just to see themselves they are there. But they were not chilling with me and making sure that there's a young guy there on that community is doing 1, 2, 3 jobs. then that part, there was a cut-off somewhere between me and the NYTA. We have to strengthen that part. We make sure that the young guys there, they link directly with us. We know exactly who are the role models so that we reach the ground. Because once we only ask, we try to reach the ground without knowing the role models of that area, we're not going to achieve what we want.
Okay. No, thank you. Last thing. You have interacted with our first parliament throughout the process. From your submission, you've seen that as you responded to that text and all that process. What is your view of our process? Do you think it's fair? Do you think there are areas that we need to improve?
The only thing that happened to me, it was the first time in my life that didn't change for the interview almost 2 times without understanding what's going on. I've been changed, obviously, I should disorganize it because I would say, all right, next week I'm not there, I'm going to a parliament, I'm going to the interview. Then suddenly changed again. Then there's one guy, I told him, I'm coming today to the interview. He was like, I hope it's not going to change while we're in the plane, because I was always referring to him, it's been changed now to this day and so on. Then he didn't believe, actually, I'm also coming here. That's the only process. But unless everything for me, there were good communication skills from you guys and to us. And you inform us in time anyway. And the way you guys handled it was fine, apart from being changed because of the political reasons. Current board on the NYTA.
Are we still going to work with them, or is the new current board, the one you're appointing now, or is there some replacement? Because I don't know, is some of the people remaining or the new board?
In terms of the NYTA Act, a board exists for 3 years. The board that was in place was appointed in 2009. It came to an end this year, at the end of April. So as it stands, there is no board. A board gets appointed. There isn't, listen, the NYTA does not have a board where members' term expires differently. The entire, because it was established at the same time, the entire board, the way and the legislation is, we have the entire board being established or reappointed, or not reappointed, being appointed at the same time. Whether or not there are candidates from the previous board who have applied, but we've treated them the same like everybody else. If they didn't make it, there will be some continuity. If they don't, like the entire board, you know, we don't know the outcome. We can't predict the outcome. But that's the situation. The Act just says to us, appoint the board of 7 people.
Yes, it's a hard one. And maybe some of the guys, they saw me this big bag. Because I was, the email was sent to us was like, you have to bring your qualifications and your references and so on. That's why I've got a big bag. And it's not like it's my clothes or something. It's a bag full of the references or whatever. That has been needed just to support my statement. Thank you.
Okay, that will be handled by Mr. which is very exhausted after 3 days of our process. But thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Honorable members, we do not have a sitting tomorrow of the committee. Remember in our morning meeting, we have agreed that we are not meeting. You can go ahead and excuse us. Yeah. We have agreed in the morning that we will communicate a sitting was there. Yeah, now I'm seeing the question. Honorable Mike, do you want to say something about the meeting?
Okay. Honorable members, we're struggling to agree as a culture because the Honorable Kubari was saying that last week the NA is your oversight week. And she's also committed as well as the transplant committee. And as such, I don't think it would be fair for us because the conditions of our constituencies are not the same to meet doing your constituency office work for 2 Mondays. And in this case, I was also relating to myself because I had to postpone a meeting with Amafosi, and you know how traditional, very sensitive to deal with traditional leaders. They feel like they're being undermined, and I feel that we will meet this Monday. It's a catch-22 situation for us. I know that Honorable Kubai, because of presence of time, she wanted to have reported to the House by June 14.
Not I would have. That's the deadline set by the president for us.
The issue is not going to happen. But it's something that we discuss outside. So that is the question in this situation. But when we started, we said Parliament has released us to do this work. So my suggestion would be, maybe my discussion members, I'm very interested. Can't we use, because I was saying, if it's your oversight week,
and it's not like four members from the LA serving one committee. Can't we have a situation where we agree on a day next week, 2 days next week? Let's say you serve them 5 days as an example, and the members request to be released from, because there are only two processes left. Is the deliberation and the adoption of the report. And I think that the one that needed most, that will take most of our time, is the deliberation, which may need us the whole day, as an example, which may take us the whole day. And I was talking to Darren, who says to prepare a report of the deliberation can take him about 2 hours, but I was very worried about the quality of the report there. But honestly, members, I would not meet my constituency for 2 consecutive Mondays. So we would have to check a day and agree what is it that you do. Thanks. Honorable
you know, the disadvantage of being a chair and failing to lead us and provide leadership, I thought Honorable Makubela was, you know, spot on earlier on during the day, because our initial conclusion during the day was that when we come here now, we might have done the consultation and they are going to assist us with the way forward. But instead, we are very tired and you are failing to lead us. You are even being honest, telling us you have failed even to agree as co-chair. I mean, really, let me be blunt and be upfront and say you are doing a disservice to us. If we are sticking to what was said by Honorable Makubela, then at the touch of death, you were supposed to advise us. But if it's that as it may, instead of maybe mourning and be progressive, because I'm disappointed how you are presenting it to us, let me propose that. Let's just stick to that one and say, try the two of you not to take us through an unnecessary process of discussing dates and see a date that would be possible. Of course, we do consultation. And then once we have agreed, then we're going to be informed accordingly. Because we might not be realistic. We might take a wrong decision based on majority only to find that it's not going to be feasible. But it's both of you are supposed to provide that leadership. So let's stick to what was said by Honorable Makubela. It was a very progressive proposal. It's just that you just agree without understanding what is the meaning of it. The meaning of it is that you have to lead us. Leading us, it means we have to come to a meeting and provide leadership. And if ever we've got a problem about what we're saying, then we're going to say. But for now, we are just being chaotic as our leaders. Why is this leader as very final to this far? Thanks, Chair.
Who
else?
Oh,
I'm tempted, but also, you see, something just came out. You see, and now I can. You see, I fear what you're saying. Learning from the experiences of the past, when these interviews had to be shifted to August, you understand? That might have this process been done, completed, this process, the duration of this committee might be extended to August. Postponing that and that, when you ask, don't get clarification. What?
Who did you ask? Never
asked
as a chair. About what? The postponement and other issues.
I think I was told by you that it might be in August.
Never asked.
I called somebody.
No. Honorable man. I think because this is a meeting, Honorable Member Jalako.
Yeah.
And Honorable Man is saying he was told. And I'm clarifying, I don't know. He has never come.
I called somebody that I thought was
no, it was not me.
Somebody. Right.
No, you've never.
I was given by the secretary of your number to try and call to ask why the interviews were postponed. I asked you to go to the minister on this issue. I was spoken with Colin as well. As the founder, member of parliament.
No, no, then we'll have.
No, 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 but
that's out of order.
Why?
What? No, no, that's seriously out of order here. I think let's bring this thing. I think we need to bring this item for next meeting because I would want to get into discussion. Because in terms of how we operate, I don't think it's correct.
I thought somebody said this too.
No, Honourable Mbanga, I'm saying let's attend this discussion.
No, but I asked you this question. If you're saying it's you, but not you.
No,
you
you've never spoken to me on the room. I'm hearing for the first time. I'm hearing for the first time what you are raising with me here. I don't know. 24 of August, I don't even know it. Okay. Then shall we again members, and then myself and all of mine are going to work on the date. We'll consult all members as normal. The administration will be checking who's available when, and then we do. Shall we adjourn? Thank you very much, and have a lovely day. Yes.
When coming back to the
please don't come back to us on, say, tomorrow for Friday. There must be just an ample time of notice.
We'll try by tomorrow that the communique goes out so that the meeting is next week. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The meeting is adjourned. So these are all documents remain?
Yes.
I've been able to say anytime we'll sit in the meeting. ask Jerry, I've been waiting to push you for the interview at the same time.
Good.
I can't do that when I know I'm going to be and then.
No, you think you're going to take the you know, I'm going to check the interview. Well, I'm going to check.
Exactly.
Ik ga net gewoon morgen afgezet. Oké, okay, Anno.